All right, Romans chapter 5. We left off in verse 8. And again, last week we talked about, I was sharing how much God really loves us. In verse 6, Paul tells us here in chapter 5 how he died for those who were without strength, those who feel useless and worthless, and those without value of to others and to society. He died for those whom man would not die for, that you wouldn't die for, that you wouldn't stick your neck out for someone that is worthless or useless and deep in within sin. And those, especially those who oppose God, he died for those who were totally opposite of all that he was. Those who were supposed to be on the same team with him. Jesus, they were supposed to, the religious leaders and the Jews and those who God raised up and gave them the privilege to bring the gospel to the world and opposed him. He died for them. That's the depth of God's love and of his justification. And Paul also told us in verse 6 that he died for the ungodly, those who are not like God, those who are different from God, those who have that different lifestyle than God. Because why? God is godly, right? God is holy. He's perfect, but not man. Man is ungodly. Man is not like God. He's imperfect. And then, so we left off here in verse 8. So look at verse 8. I think this is, verse 8 is one of the most beautiful verses and the most encouraging verse of all for anybody, any person walking this earth. He says in verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that beautiful? That's hope. Knowing that he died for us when we were sinners. When we were sinners, God proved his love to you. He proves his love for us. That word demonstrate, that word in the Greek means to show. It means to prove. It means to be exhibited. It's referring to the present tense, guys, not the past tense. He saved us. He proved that he existed, and I accepted him into my life. I got born again. I changed. His love and proving that he loved me didn't stop then. It continues. He continues to demonstrate his love and his existence to us in the present tense. So in other words, God is always showing and proving his love towards us. Don't you see that? Can you see that? It's all around us. And the word sinner, obviously, you guys know what that means. In the Greek, it just refers to the man who is sinful, the sinner. But the question is, when did God start loving you guys? When did you feel he started loving you, right? Let me tell you something. It wasn't when you decided to pray and ask Jesus into your life. It wasn't when you decided to go to church one day or to a church function or when you decided to get right your life right with God or get your act together. It was actually when you were at the worst time of your life. God proved his love for you while you are yet sinners. You were sinful. You were ungodly. You were without strength. Jesus died for you. He died for me. It had nothing to do with me. It had nothing to do with you or when you got your act together. It wasn't like the excuse that everybody tells you when you want to lead them to the Lord. It says, well, first, let me get my act together because I don't want to be a hypocrite. Well, you're going to be a hypocrite. That's not when God wants you to come to know him, is when you're going to get your life together, your act together. It's when he says, come as you are. That's when he proved his love for us. And he proved it by how? By shedding the blood of his own son, Jesus Christ, for us. By sparing us, by not allowing us to go to hell. I can't remember who I see. It's when you're old, you know, they say when you turn 40, there's three things you forget. I don't remember what they are, but I already forgot. I was talking to somebody, and I can't remember when or where about how hot it is And we were talking about, wow, you know what? You go out there and you think it's, oh, Betty Jo. It's Betty Jo. Boom, came back. Betty Jo, thank you. And it was right before service in the prayer room. And she says, you know what? When people tell me how hot it is outside, and she says, I'm going to tell them about how hot it's going to be in hell. You think it's hot now. Wait, if you don't know Jesus Christ, wait till you die. Then you're really going to know, see how hot it is. And you know what, guys? As a Christian, as a believer, this heat, this is the closest that we will ever get to hell. Right here. For a person who's not a Christian, this will be the closest that they will ever get to heaven. That's sad. But this heat, here we complain how hot it is. Man, thank God that, you know, thank your Lord and Savior that you're not going to go to hell and feel the heat there. It's all what Jesus did for us. He sent his son to die on the cross for us. So when did God die for us? I want you to think about the worst that you have ever been in your life before you came to Christ. I'm not into, hey, I knew a pastor that was, he was sharing the gospel, and he said, I want everybody to go deep down inside. Go in that very deep, dark area of your life. And I'm thinking, there is no darkness in us. Darkness and light cannot mix. And so he was sharing this to a brother, to a guy. I said, no, there is no darkness in us. I told him, I said, if God's in us, then darkness can reside in us. Okay? Devil, the greatest he that's in us, the he that's in us. He can oppress us, but he can't possess us, or he can't do anything that God won't allow him to do. But think about the worst that you ever been in your life, and that's what your relationship with the Lord, that's what Jesus delivered you and set you free from. I know some of you were pretty bad. And they're always asking, Pastor, how you doing? I said, well, I'm better than some, worse than others, you know, which is true. Listen, John chapter 8, verse 36, you guys know it well. Jesus said, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And then prior to that, in verse 31, he says, to the Jews and to those who believed in him, if you abide in my word and you are my disciple indeed, you should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I know many who said, you know what that Jesus said, if you should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Pastor, I'm still not set free. I'm still struggling. Then how come I'm not set free? Well, are you taking that whole word that Jesus said? Are you taking it in context of what he said? Because prior to where he said, you should know the truth and the truth shall set you free, prior to that, he said, if you truly are abiding in my word, are you abiding in his word? And if you truly are my disciple, are you truly his disciple? He said, you will know the truth and the truth shall set you free. If you're not abiding in the word, don't expect to be set free because you're doing it on your own. Every time you do it on your own, you always mess up. But he's loving and he's gracious to come, and he always fixes everything. Everything that I mess up, he always fixes. Look at verse 10. Paul goes on and says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, and much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and through him we have now received the reconciliation. So verse 10, Paul says, we are reconciled. Verse 11, he says, we have this reconciliation. And if you have the King James, it says atonement. Though that word, reconciled, reconciliation, or atonement, it means to change. It means to be different. It's talking about a restoration to the divine favor of God. We are reconciled. That means we're changed. So when we were used to be enemies and sinners of God, God reconciled us. He what? Saved us. And he demonstrated by doing three things here in verse 10 and 11. And the first thing God did, look at verse 10. He said, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. We were reconciled by Christ dying for us. We were restored, we were changed, and now we have a relationship with God because Jesus died for you. That's why you're here this morning, right? You're not here this morning because of anything I'm saying or doing, or I'm not, you know, someone famous or doing some act or singing a beautiful song. You're here because of Jesus' death. And he changed you. And he came into your heart. And now you're not the same no more. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul said this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You are a new creation. You're not the same anymore. You're not perfect. You still blow it. And the very things that he died and he took you from, those are the very things that Satan is going to try to tempt you with. Because why? He knows you're capable of doing them. He ain't going to tempt you with something he knows you're not capable of doing. It's those things that Jesus delivered us from. He's always trying to bring up the past, right? What does that saying go? When Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. That's true. My past is always trying to sneak up on me. I don't like to talk about my past a whole lot, how I used to be, only when it arises as a testimony of God's grace. When God brings it up and he says, okay, here's a time for you to witness to somebody who might be going through the same thing you've been through, or as a testimony about how I used to be. My son-in-law turned 30 yesterday. And we had a little party for him, birthday party at the beach. And me and him and Jeff, brother Jeff, we went to Pacific, I think it's the beach. Where's that area called roller coaster? I haven't been there such a long time. Mission Bay? Mission Beach, okay. We got there at 3:30 in the morning. And it was amazing. There was no one there, just a few people there going through the trash, getting recyclables. We got there, I parked, all the parking you want, you know, parked right there where we were going to set up tables in the grass area. We got this, we sectioned off this one area, and it was awesome. The weather was great. It was nice and cool, and here in the ocean, and I was like, wow, Lord, this is awesome. And we were there at 3:30. We set up. We got everything set up around 4:30. That's when everybody started coming. Everybody was looking at us saying, man, you guys got the best area. You know, they wanted that area. Well, you know what? It's first come, first serve purpose, right? You want to get there real early. We're going to get there at 3 in the morning. You better get there at 2. Anyway, so people were setting up, and it's so funny because they'll set up right next to you. I'm just not like that person. I don't want to be right next to somebody. I want to, you know. But this one guy, he came at about 4:30, and he got the table kind of off to a little off from us, and he's sitting there. Well, his wife came, and she started chewing him out. You've been here since 4:30, and this is all you got. This is the best you got. And we're like, and it was funny because he's sitting there, and he's singing his song, sitting there and rapping, you know, and she was chewing him out. And I was thinking, this is funny, you know. And I just think, oh, well, I know who wears the pants in that family. Anyways, and then she started unloading and her stuff. And she got a tent, and she asked if we would help her put up her tent. And so my son-in-law, Ruben, he went over there because God's blessed him with the gift of putting things together. And so I went over and helped him. There's no instructions, but we put this tent up for them. And she was saying, wow, thank you, Lord. I said, yeah, do you know him? Goes, oh, yeah, yeah, we're Christians, and we go to a fellowship in Chula Vista. I said, well, I'm a pastor. Oh, where do you pastor at? Horizon North Park Christian Fellowship. And then her mom, who's with, goes, I was invited to that church. Somebody invited me to go to that church. I want to say, well, where are you? But I didn't. I held my tongue. And so I started talking about the Lord. And he goes, yeah. She said, we're just a small church. I said, so are we. And I said, but God says that though we are few, yet we are strong when he surrounds us. And she said, praise God. But and then we went off and we were doing our thing. And it was when you share your testimony and being from Chula Vista, I said, yeah, I used to be a cholo, whatever, you know, a churro. And I used to came out of that lifestyle, and God saved me. He saved me. Why? Because I'm a new creation in Christ, and the old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so we went back to our little area, and oh my gosh, I felt sorry for her husband, because at the end she kept chewing them out. When they were breaking down, she was chewing them out, and I'm thinking, man, all this over a little grass area. Man, can imagine, you know, stepping on eggshells. But Paul says, we become new creation. All the old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through who? Jesus Christ. And he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And then verse 20 in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you guys know it well. He says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God was pleading through us and imploring you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Isn't that amazing? That love, that it's like God pleading through us. He wants to speak to those who don't know him. He wants to speak through you and use you. It's an honor and a privilege to be used by God. And sometimes I think, God, how can you use a little guy like me? It's like Kathy. She saw me on the news. She said, wow, you look very tall on the news. And they even gave you a neck. And I thought, good, because I told him, make me look good. And he says, okay, well, how? Well, Photoshop, I guess. I told KUSI guy, I said, hey, I don't, you know, you better get my good side. He said, well, what side is that? I said, I don't have one. You better use Photoshop. He said, don't worry, I'll make you look good. You know, it's God, it's an honor and a privilege that God is pleading to people through you. As if you're just there like this mic, like these mics, you know. These mics don't say anything, but you get Dominic or you get someone behind there and they sing and it blesses the people. Well, we are mics to God. And God wants to use you. God wants to reconcile the world to himself. And I'm just honored and privileged that God would use me to come up here and stand before you. I would never do this if it wasn't for the Lord. There's no way you would get me up here. Man, I didn't want to talk with the newscaster. I was like, I'm not good. You'll do fine. Come on. You'll do fine. But we are ambassadors for Christ. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So it's awesome that God, the first point is God reconciled to us through the death of his son Jesus. Look at verse 10. Because the second thing is that in the bottom of verse 10, he says, and much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So we're reconciled by his death on the cross. Now we're saved by his life. That word saved means to be delivered and to be protected literally. Literally. God delivers us and he protects us. You know, when you get to heaven, I'm sure he's going to show you a lot of video of how you were spared and God saved you and you didn't even know it. And you're going to stand before the heavenly host and before everybody when Jesus brings you up. He's going to say, okay, everybody who was minister and who was affected by my man here, Pastor Steve, was not going to be Pastor Steve because my name, I want Theophilus. By Theophilus, because we're going to get new names. You can't have that one. That means lover of God. By little Theophilus. Oh, no, he's going to say by little teeny-weeny Zacchaeus. I'm sorry, I mean Theophilus. Then he's going to go like this, and I'm going to go 6 feet. Stand up. And you're going to see hundreds and hundreds of people stand up that you didn't know here on this earth. Why? Because you helped one person. That person helped another person, and it goes on and on and on and on. And all those people are going to say, thank you. thank you for sharing with this person because of that person, and because of you, I'm here today. Well, obviously, it's because of God. We are saved through through Jesus' life. We're protected. We're healed. We're preserved. He wants us to do well. We're made whole by his life. You know what that means? It means Jesus is alive. He's not dead. He's alive. He's our living Lord. He's our living Savior. It means that Jesus is standing and sitting at the before God and at the right hand of the Father. And he's interceding for us. He's our mediator. We serve a living Savior and not a dead one. You don't serve a dead God. And you're going to get through life according to how big your God is. How big is your God? His feet rest on this earth. That's how big your God is. It rests on this earth. Your feet, his feet, those are some big chanclas. Can you imagine getting spanked by them, guys? 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul said this. He said, for there is one man, one God, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Romans 8, chapter 34, he says, who is he who condemns? Isn't it funny that the world tries to condemn us constantly? Look what he's doing, too. Look what they're doing to President Trump. I don't like talking politics over here. But, man, it just drives me nuts that the guy can't even come outside and wave without them saying, oh, look at how he's waving. He's a traitor. Can you imagine? That's what the world does for us. Those who don't want God or nothing to do with God are going to do to you. Same thing. Who is he who condemns? Is it not Christ who died? And furthermore, isn't he also risen? Who is even at the right hand of God who is also making intercession for you? Isn't it great to know? Be encouraged that Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is talking about you before God, before the heavenly host. And I know he's laughing at me. They're laughing at me. I know they are. They're listening right now, and the whole poly heaven is all cracking up, except for God, because it already happened in his eyes. They're probably saying, God, why aren't you laughing? Oh, that happened in 2,000 years. It already happened. He already said that joke. That's an old one. That was said even before he was born, he said it. You know? He's making intercession for us. Jesus is standing before God, and he's the only true and perfect man that ever walked this earth. And it's through his righteousness that we are covered. But it comes when we trust in him. And it's his righteousness that makes us righteous before God. So that has nothing to do with us. Jesus is our intercessor. He's our mediator. His righteousness, his resurrection from the dead is what saves us. And then third, look at verse 11. Verse 11. It says, and not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we now receive the reconciliation. Third point is that God gives us joy through the atonement or the reconciliation or the redemption of who? Of Christ. Be happy that you don't have to work for your salvation. Be happy that all you have to do is ask for it. Think about it, guys. Think about all that you have received from God, or God has blessed you. You can't help but rejoice over that. I was, again, my mind going. I was talking with somebody. I don't know if it was yesterday. It might have been a minute ago. Can't remember. And they said, you know what? You are blessed. God has blessed you with awesome kids and awesome grandkids. And I'm like, thank you, Lord, for sparing me from all the chaos. When I pray with other people, Friday I was in the parking lot with my granddaughter, and her mom was coming, and the meter man pulled up. God out came up. Pastor Steve, can you please pray? Please remember to pray for him. Pray for my daughter she's in rehab, but she don't want to stay. She keeps leaving, coming in, leaving, keep coming in, leaving. She's back in rehab. Please pray that she will stay. So I don't remember her name, but keep her in prayer. He wants her to be delivered. And I think, Lord, thank you for sparing me from that with my kids. My kids love God. I've been blessed. My grandkids love God. You know, I just thank you, Lord. I thank him every day that, and I rejoice in that. That's a blessing. That's a, that, I mean, they're not perfect. I had to spank Stevie every night to go to sleep. In fact, he used to come to me and say, hey, where are you? I'm, go to bed. Well, I need my spanking. Oh, I forgot. Okay. Wham! Ah! You know? Priscilla, Monique, I just raised my voice and they cry. So, it's, you know, it's like Stevie had to get whipped. I love what Jesus told his disciples when he sent them out. He sent them out in pairs, go out and do the Lord's work. And they went out. They were doing some miraculous things. And they came back. Jesus, look what we were doing and casting out demons. And Jesus looked at them in Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Says, nevertheless, don't rejoice in that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Isn't that a good reason to rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life? You're saved. When I get to heaven, there ain't going to be no, I can't find your name. What is it again? Do you got an AKA? I mean, did you change your name? I'm sorry. Sorry. And then you're going to, you know. Your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, God's book. It's reserved in heaven. You got the Holy Spirit as a deposit that's sealed. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. I love what Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 1. Listen, he said in verse 3, he said, blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Not just hope, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And it's to an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled. It doesn't fade away. And it's reserved in heaven for you. You guys got reservations in heaven. Isn't that awesome? Awesome. You try to get reservations down here, they always mess up. Soccer careers and stuff going there. Hey, I have reservations. I don't have you in here. Okay, well, give me my room. We're all out. What? Man, give me the servants' quarters or something, you know. They always met, but not in heaven. They're reserved. It's reserved for us in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last day. It's all done by faith. That's how I got reserved, is I believe in Jesus. I believe in you, Jesus, and I receive you. Bam, reserved. He says, in this greatly rejoice. Rejoice in it, guys. So now, for a little while, if need be, you're going to be grieved by various trials. Hey, you're going to go through trials. You're going to go through hardship. You might even go through persecution. But rejoice in the fact that I got a place for you in heaven. And I've gone to go prepare it. And one day I'm going to return. And where I'm at, that's where you're going to be. It's like that thief on the cross. Today you shall be in paradise. Isn't that a awesome words that Jesus came and said, today you're going to be in paradise? What would you do? If you left this church, you walked out, all of a sudden there comes this man in his white robe. Come on. He's in a white robe. He's in long beard, long hair. You probably think, wow, this is a crazy homeless guy, you know? And then he comes up and says, hey, Keith, today you're going to be in paradise.
Let's go.
Woo! Yeah. What would you do? You would go and get your act together, start repenting, and man, greatly rejoice that your name is reserved in heaven. And he said, but you're going to go through some grieving. You're going to go through trials, but the genuineness of your faith is much precious than gold that perish. It's tested by fire. It may be found of praises, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom you not seen, but yet you love. Have you seen Jesus? I see him through you guys. I see him through creation. I see him through all the good works. I see him through the bad work. I see God being lifted and glorified. Though you don't see him physically, Jesus himself, it could happen. God can do anything. If God wants to reveal him, Jesus, to me right now, he can do it. He said, but yet you love him. And then, you know, it's interesting. He says, if you love Jesus, God, who you don't see, you know, you're to love your brother or your sister who you do see. How is it that we have a hard time loving those we can see, but yet we love God who we can't see? It's like believing is seeing, not seeing is believing. See, that's the difference between us. Believing is seeing. I believe because once I believe, then I'm going to see. I don't go around, hey, I'll believe it when I see it. No, I believe, and now I see it. But he goes on, he says, rejoice. You're going to be tested by fire, but you're going to be found of praises and honor and glory when Jesus returns, a revelation of who you don't see, but yet you love, and through you do not see him yet. Believing, you rejoice with a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory, and receiving at the end of your faith is the salvation of your souls. That's a promise. The end of your faith is the salvation of your soul. That means when I die, I'm going to step into eternity. Death is but a moment. Pain, suffering, that's going to go fast. I don't know how I'm going to die, but one day I will die. And when I do, when I open my eyes, I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see those who went before me. I'm going to see everyone. Look at verse 12. And Paul goes, therefore, just as through one man's sin entering the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all have sinned. So Paul, he shows us here the results of one man's sin. We're talking about Adam here. You remember the sin that he committed in the Garden of Eden? Remember Genesis chapter 2 says that the Lord God took man, took Adam, he put him in the Garden of Eden, and he said, tend to it and keep it. This is why I know that Adam was actually Mexican, because he was the very first gardener. It says he got Matt, God put Adam in the garden to tend it. Hey, cut the grass, you know, pull the weeds, you know. It was a perfect garden, so there was really not much to do. So, you know, don't, if you're a gardener, if you love gardening, if you're a landscaper, hey, it's from God. And the Lord God commanded him, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Isn't that the truth, though? We know this. You know that there are certain things in your life, certain things around you that God tells you the same thing he told Adam. The day you eat of it, the day you partake of it, you're going to surely die. It's going to destroy your witness. It's going to destroy your faith. It's going to destroy your fellowship. It's going to, especially those who you're trying to witness to, and you're there doing the same thing they're doing. They say, hey, I thought you were a Christian. How many of you witnessed that? The ones that God called you to share, to be that example. And yet you're there, you know. And they're saying, well, aren't you a Christian? And then you realize, hey, this is an opportunity to witness. Hey, I'm going to share. Hey, you know God loves you? Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, you're telling me God loves you, but look at you. Look what you're doing. I did that. In fact, Fernando was with me, and Brother John, remember John? He was one of our ushers. He was saying, he used to say, hey, guys, I just accepted Jesus Christ back in 74, 73. I received him, me and Fernando right there, and we're like, and we're doing this, you know, and he's doing this. Yeah, I received Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. I'm and like, yeah, whatever. Blew his witness. We don't want to hear that. You're here getting high with us and you're trying to tell us about Jesus? Forget that. Well, we didn't want God. We didn't want nothing to do with that. We want a party, and I don't know if you remember this, Fernando, and Charlie, his brother Charlie, and he was trying to witness to us. And yet we're getting high together. You know, the day we know what we're supposed to do, we know the things we're not supposed to do, and the day we get into them, you're going to die somewhere in your walk with God. Just like Adam, we partake of it, and we suffer the results of it. We know right from wrong. You know you're right from your left. So God put man in his perfect garden. And we're going to end it here. I'm going to stop here because I want to be obedient to the Lord. We're going to pick up next week talking about the results of Adam's sin. Through one man's sin enter into the world. So we can blame Adam. So many people do. But you're going to be surprised next week if you come here and hear whose really fault it is. So let's pray.